Bless, are you okay?
Hi, Dean. Yes, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Just answering a few questions before you came on. I've asked everyone to pop the questions into the bottom just so it doesn't interfere with the live. But yeah, I'm really excited to have you on to share your story a bit about the amazing work that you're doing in the mental health community. So for everyone who doesn't know your story, Leslie, are you able to just give a brief explanation of what you do, why you do the amazing work that you do in the mental health community, and what got you into it in the first place?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here today, Dean, with your amazing community, and just want to acknowledge all the work that you're doing in this world. So thank you again for having me on here. I'm coming to you from Barcelona, Spain. I'm originally from the US, originally from Los Angeles, California, and I help mostly women, also men, to stop doubting themselves, to stop overthinking so that they can feel confident and have more time, more peace of mind, and more connection in their life and in their relationships. And I think probably most people that, are doing this type of work, what I found is I had a real big challenge in my life in terms of fear and anxiety, letting it overwhelm me and take over my life. And I came to do this work through my own personal transformation and deep commitment to personal growth. As I mentioned to you, I'm from the US. So I did all the things, graduated from the prestigious business university, worked for the biggest entertainment studio in the world, was a successful co-founder in a real estate company, did all the things, found love online, moved to London, got married, had kids, and still I felt like something was missing. Still, I had feelings of shame and guilt. And it wasn't until my childhood best friend, who passed away at the age of 33 years old, passed away from cancer. And as horrible as that was really what set in motion my own personal catalyst to really question how I was living in this world, how I was raising my children, and what was I placing importance on in my energy. And so that really set me on a deep path to personal growth and really trying to understand that there is a connection between our mind and our body and our upbringing and how we were as a child, whether the good, bad experiences, and how that whole upbringing has basically, it influences how we show up in the world, and that we actually do have the power to change our circumstances based on our consciousness, and that it's never too late. It's never too late or too soon to have a healthy childhood and to really live a meaningful and purposeful life.
So firstly, sorry to hear about the passing of your friend. How did you find that sparked this conversation in your this action? Is it the grief that you had from it, or is it that your friend was so young and then that made you evaluate everything that you were doing? What was the spark from that?
And both of those. I had a huge amount of grief. I think at that age and a new young mother, like you think you're invincible. You think nothing's going to happen to me or those around you. And when something does, whether it's directly or indirectly, whether it's the loss of a loved one, loss of a job or a pet, or even our way of life, right? Like the past few years with everything that happened in the world, there's this huge amount of heavy emotions and grief that we're normally taught to just suppress. We're just be a good girl, just keep going, do all the things, don't show your vulnerabilities, don't show your weakness, just keep powering through. And what I learned is that that is not the way to go about life. And that when I started to heal my grief from my friend's death and her passing, it brought up all this other grief, all this other sadness and rage, all these emotions that I did not get to healthily express and embody as a child, as a young woman. And so it was this actual beautiful invitation to start to heal, to start to really feel. Because when we feel, that's when we heal.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful explanation. So talk to me, if I was a new client, I was a young woman, and I heard all the amazing stuff that you do. I looked at your social media, I'm really interested. How do I go about coaching with you? Do I have to be in Barcelona, for example, or is it something available worldwide? And secondly, how would you be evaluating that person, and what would you be looking to gain from the coaching that they do with you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. No, you don't have to be live with me in Barcelona, thankfully, to the sacred technology that we're all using. And actually, because of lockdown, I moved most of my business online. So I work with people from all around the world, mostly from Europe and US. But yeah, I would say those that are interested in working with me, if you're really feeling called, if you feel like you've done all the things and you feel like something is missing, or you've woken up one day, you looked at yourself in the mirror and asked yourself, who am I? How did I get here? Or you're actually just really feeling exhausted and burnt out, and you know that there has to be another way of living and being in this world, because there is, there absolutely is. And so my invitation is, if someone is feeling that, if they're feeling the call, if they're feeling like actually their crisis is an awakening to something bigger and better in their life, then my invitation for you is to, first of all, know that yes, it's absolutely possible that there is help out there, and that there is someone there that has been through what you've been through or similar, that can help guide you with the necessary practices and tools, hold your hand, and get you to the other side of that, and truly, truly, truly experience that through the crisis, through the breakdown, that there is a deeper, more meaningful experience of life and love and relationships and in your work. It truly is. That's something I'm really passionate about. And I know we talked about my best friend passing away, but I've been through quite a lot of other stuff. My father passed away, mother, two-time cancer survivor. I had my own near-death experience in 2021, had a huge marital awakening with my partner of 18 years, married for 15 years. So I've been through more than one challenging moment. And so I just want to speak to anyone that's watching this live or the replay, that whatever it is that you're going through, just know that you're not alone. You're not alone. And that there is someone out there, whether Dean or myself or someone in his amazing community, like, we see you. We see you. We feel you. We hear your struggles. We feel your heart. And that we're here. We're here to support you. And if in any way, my work speaks to you or anyone else in your community, reach out. Because what I realize is we're not meant to do this life alone. So much of us are living in shame, living in a bubble, thinking that if I ask for help, then I'm weak, or it's a sign of weakness. But I think what we've realized, especially in these past few years, is like, we are craving to feel safe, to feel seen, and to feel heard. And that's a big part of the work as well, I think, for in terms of mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, all of it, because the healing is in the safety. It really is.
I know that when I went through an anxiety disorder, I was reluctant to open up because I felt isolated. It felt alone. I felt like that nobody else. It felt crazy to be even talk about what I was feeling because I, in my mind, I felt nobody's feeling this. And if I tell them how I feel trapped in my own thoughts and my own sensations, then they're going to think I'm crazy. And I know a lot of people feel that way, and they feel isolated and they feel alone. That's why it's really important. And this is where I believe you get the connection through coaching, through someone who's actually been through the process and then made it their life mission to then help other people. Like you say, holding their hand through the journey. I think there's just a deeper connection there. And I love everything that you were just saying then. Regarding trauma, so obviously you're a trauma-informed coach. There's a lot of misconceptions or people using the word incorrectly online. How would you define trauma? And is all trauma resolved? Like, can you resolve all trauma? Is it okay if you can't resolve all trauma? And regarding your specific traumas, was your reactions different to each one, or was it always the same reaction after a traumatic event?
How much time do we have, me? How much time do we have? Yeah, thank you for asking that, because I feel like, number one, there's this huge awareness that's happening right now around trauma, somatic awareness, somatic healing, which is amazing. amazing. And like you said, there's also like, okay, what does that actually mean, right? Because a lot of my clients and my community and even myself, typically we think trauma with a big T. We think, oh, you know, it's okay. I didn't see someone die in front of me, or I didn't, you know, like these big traumas. We think I'm okay. I had a good childhood. I'm good. And actually, there could be little T. There could be toxic stress. There could be all, you know, ends of the spectrum in terms of trauma. And trauma really is not so much what happens to you. It's the experience that you have in your body and how it relates and how that affects you. So it's something happening too much, too fast, or too soon. So for instance, if you had an experience, say right now, and you see like a snake on the floor, and you never experienced a snake in your life, and you think, oh, it's no big deal. Like, yeah, it's cool. I'm not scared at all. But for me, if I had a trip to Asia and there was like a snake in the toilet and I was about to sit down and I'm like, oh my God, there's a snake. And all of a sudden from that experience in childhood, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have this perception that a snake is threat. I have to be hypervigilant. I'm looking out for safety. Snakes equals danger. And so even we have the same exact experience because I experienced something in childhood that, you know, unbeknownst to me, and this is how I perceive it now as an adult. So we all can have the very same experiences, but it's like our whole accumulation of our childhood, our upbringing, our caregivers, everything has an influence on how the trauma actually impacts us. Now, what happens with trauma is when too much energy hits our nervous system and hits our body, that's when we go into overwhelm. So you probably have talked about this as well on your own lives and with other guests, is that we have this nervous system where either it's fight or flight, where we're going into, you know, we're trying to save ourselves because this was a evolutionary response from our ancestors to actually protect themselves to save their lives. But for us now, it's like not so much protecting our lives. It's like an email. It's a comment. It's like something someone said, but it's the accumulation of, and we're constantly seeking for safety. We're actually hypervigilant. So it's like, how can we come into that parasympathetic nervous system where actually we can rest and digest, where we can actually come into homeostasis, where we can actually come out of anxiety, come out of overwhelm, and from that space, make a more informed, empowered decision. Because when our nervous system is in fight or flight or freeze, and we're in panic, and it feels like that distress that we had when we were younger is happening in the present, when it's not actually happening, that's a moment frozen in time in our body that we're making decisions based on that. So past relationships, trauma from how we experience love or marriage, the way we saw it in our relation, in our parents growing up, all these things, all of this colors our perception of the world. But what I've learned through my own personal experience with sexual traumatic work and childhood trauma and healing inner child is that it is never too late. It is never too late. And yes, maybe we had a good childhood, and yes, all these things we did, they somehow served a purpose, right? You did all the things. Maybe you have a beautiful spouse and an amazing job and the house and all the things. But if you really want to live a bigger life, if you really want to be fully on purpose and have an incredible legacy, the work is really to heal those past traumas so that you can really step more into an empowered, purposeful life, because we will constantly, constantly make decisions based on those moments frozen in time where we're seeking safety. We feel like our needs are not met. So a lot of my work is not diminishing, not minimizing that little Dean or little Leslie where they didn't feel safe, they didn't feel heard, they didn't feel seen. Because what's happening is that all of us are pretty much little kids in adult suits that are going around, and they're wanting to be seen and heard, but yet they're seeking safety. And so we have these defense strategies that we've built that have been very successful to get us to where we are in life. But, you know, we realize as we come into adulthood, as we become a parent, or as we want to do more purposeful work or become more conscious in life, how can I be better? How can I show up better for the world? How can I show up bigger and better for myself and for my children and for my community? And it always starts from within. It starts from doing the work with ourselves.
So regarding, and I can only echo everything you said there. I love what you said. We're all inner child, it's our inner child, isn't it? We're all this undeveloped inner child that's trying to navigate through this crazy life of ours. Regarding, like, say, a phobia, so you mentioned the snakes, how would you address that from a coaching aspect? So how would you resolve that trauma? Would it be exposure therapy? How would you hold that person's hand, say, I don't know, if they have a fear of flying or if they get anxious when they go to the grocery store?
Yeah, I've heard of that before. Exposure therapy is not my forte, and that's not what I've been trained in. And that just me personally in my nervous system with my specific traumas and phobias, like that doesn't feel safe. So what I do with my clients is it's like the healing is in the safety. You always want to invite the person, invite the client. Is that something that feels safe and comfortable to do so, right? Check in with your body. So again, trauma-informed somatic-based work is getting out of the head and into the body. Yes, consciously we may think, yeah, okay, I'm ready to heal this. Like I want to move on. But maybe it will take 3 sessions. Maybe it will take 1 month. Maybe you work with me and then you work with someone else until you actually feel safe. So we need to check in with the body. So what I do is I invite clients to close their eyes, notice the sensations that they're feeling in their body based on an experience or memory that's coming to mind where they're feeling distressed. And what is that sensation telling them? And normally, typically, there is so much innate intelligence within our body. Once we just bring our awareness into our body, what's really happening? When is the last time you felt this way? When is the earliest memory you felt this way? If the sensation could tell you something right now, what would it say to you? And there's so much wisdom in that. And then being able to just hold that space. Maybe that's all that needs to be done in that moment. Or maybe there is an inner child that comes forward and wants to be seen, needs to hear something. And just that awareness of that inner child being seen, there can be so much transformation in that. I can't tell my client, like, when and done, you just need one session. They only know that, right? So it's just holding that container and space for safety and healing. And we never know. We never know what's on the other side. I'm not holding a crystal ball to tell them, I know what's going to happen, you know, after the session or if you do this work. But I do know that if you stay committed and that you do this work, the inner work, that there's so much freedom, there's so much healing, and there's so much happiness on the other side of it.
What do you say to individuals who may have unfortunately had a loss, like you say, maybe a loved one, a close friend, and they believe that they can never get over that, that trauma is always going to be there for them in some aspect. How would you approach that? What would your answer be to that? Is it okay for them to still hold that trauma?
Yeah. Yeah, the body knows, and it's really about the safety. So grief is a process. It's not an event. There's not like 10,000 tears and you're done. You're done. You're moving onward and upwards. Forget about them. Absolutely not. We never know. And I'm a believer that, you know, our loved ones that pass on and transition off this physical earth, they're still with us. They're still with us in another form. They're still with us each and every day in every way. So it's really also about getting my clients really into the present moment. And when you're in your body, when you're in your present moment, not only is it mindfulness, it's gratitude, it's presence. It's like a lot of the anxiety that we're feeling today is because we're living in the past and we're living in the future. So yes, I hold that. I say with so much love that I get it. It's so painful when we lose someone, whether we knew it was coming or we didn't know it was coming. It's painful, and no one can take away that pain. But what I can say is that their life and what it meant to you, if you are experiencing that much grief and that much pain, perhaps doing this work that you can remember with more love. And that's where the work is.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. Well, you say obviously you can't change the event and you understand the pain that comes from it, but by changing the person's maybe perception or like you say, remembering the good times they had there with them. And I love what you said about when someone passes on, that they're still with you, isn't it? Obviously, everyone's got their own beliefs, but I do believe what you said, that even by speaking the name, they're still
Yes.
or memories, they're still with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I hear someone's friend or loved one or anyone passes away, I ask them, what was their name? What did they mean to you? Somehow we just stop asking because we think it's going to be uncomfortable. Maybe they don't want to talk about it. But I don't know. I know about myself and people that pass away, like, it's amazing to still celebrate and acknowledge those loved ones and not to forget them. Yeah,
No, I can.
not to forget them. And I think also it's important to note that, yes, be in gratitude and present and all the things, but a lot of my work as well, that trauma-informed work and somatic healing, is that to feel that grief and sadness. So there are particular practices that I take my clients through to release that in a healthy way, because we need to feel that and we need to be seen in that. And again, this is not about suppressing the emotion still as an adult, but to be in that grief, to feel it, and not to just try to move on to the next thing, and not to just be busy and power through it. Like, I'm okay, let me stay busy. Because when we're busy staying busy, that's again anxiety. That's just anxiety covering the other anxiety, and it will catch up. It'll catch up. It's not sustainable at all.
That is literally in my whole story of the community. After the passing of my father, I did what most men would do, which is try and, like you say, carry on, try and plow through it, try and distract myself. 3 months later, in the center of a shopping center, then I have the worst panic attack with my wife, and that then starts a 2 year journey of a panic disorder, and that was because of that unprocessed grief. But yeah, not knowing that I shouldn't be doing that. So I think it's amazing, like the work that you're doing, just the psychoeducation of speaking out about how important it is to process grief. I mean, I remember going to the doctors, and they referred me to a counselor for the grief side of things, and I didn't even know there was different stages of grief. I didn't know anything about it, and I think that education is so important, because I think if people actually realize there's different stages of grief that you can go through, and that it's not in one particular order as well, it can happen in all different stages, and like you said, there's no timeline to it, so that it's not, yeah, like, oh, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months gone, and now you have to get over it. It's a process, and it could be a continual process, manifesting in different ways.
Yeah. What was your father's name, Dean?
Dennis.
Dennis. Beautiful. Yeah. Dennis is with us. Dennis is with
No,
you.
he really, and he's in all the work that I
Yeah.
do, which is
Yes.
why I get
Yes.
up. And it's really important, because that pain that I had from the passing, I really use that to motivate me to help other people who had been through grief, who help other people who've been through an anxiety disorder, to show them they're not alone, and that they can overcome it. So yeah, he is with me every single day from the message that I give to the community. I can see some questions. So before I let you go, I do want to see if you can answer some of the questions.
How do I do that here? I don't see anything popping up. Oh, is it because I said comments are off? Maybe that's why. Okay, here we go.
Can we talk about anxiety in relationships? So if we speak
Sorry.
about, it's okay. If we speak about you from a coaching aspect, do you deal with women who have anxiety in relationships, and how would you go about looking into improving that?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for your question. Is it Maya? Hopefully I'm saying that right. Well, I will say and preface it with this. The way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So even though if we say it's relationships, how we're doing it in work, that's how we're doing it in relationship to ourselves, relationship to others. I'd love to hear if there's any specific question around that, but I will say again, if we do this work for ourselves, then this will absolutely have the power to heal and transform how we are in relationship with others. Now, if I don't feel safe, if I don't feel like I love myself and can trust myself and the person I choose as a life partner and what I do for my work, and I'm constantly doubting myself and questioning my decisions and my choices, it's not just going to show up in a relationship, in a romantic relationship. It's going to show up in everything I do, right? So again, it's going back to healing that inner child, healing that part. What is that part of you that is feeling unsafe in a relationship? What are the attachments that you have? How is your energy when you're distressed? You know, there's all these different things that we can look at. But I would say that, yes, it's absolutely going back to, you know, essentially they say by the age of 7, definitely by the age of 12, our whole perception of the world, how we view life, love, relationships, money, career, has pretty much been formed. So it really is going back. And this is not talk therapy. This isn't like we have to talk hours about mom and dad and all the things. Sometimes it just takes one session. Really, that's the power of somatic healing and trauma-informed work, because it's the body. The mind forgets. Consciously, we're an adult. We're doing all the things. We're successful. But the body remembers. The body has so much innate intelligence. Yeah?
Just for someone who may not know what somatic healing is, are you able to just give a explanation for it? Because like you said, it has grown so much in the last few years.
Yeah.
Is it, and how is it beneficial for someone who may have mental health struggles?
Yeah, so we talked about nervous system a little bit, and this is probably something that you see a lot as well. You probably talk about it, Dean, and you see it trending. Is nervous system regulation. How can you regulate your nervous system out of that fight or flight, out of like this feeling of being unsafe? How can you bring yourself back into homeostasis? And from that perspective, your body, right, it starts to calm down. It starts to get balanced, that you can make decisions from that place. So if we're constantly hypervigilant, we're looking to make ourselves feel safe, and our nervous system is not regulated, then it doesn't matter who you hire as a coach, what book you read, what podcast you listen to, whatever tools you get, your nervous system, your subconscious mind, which is 95% of what's running your life, will always feel unsafe. So how can you, first of all, just learn some practical tools, whether it's breath work, meditation, essential oils, or like 1 minute tools is what I love to give my clients, so that you can just boom, bring your nervous system back into balance and regulation, right? How can you learn how to self-soothe as an adult? And then also doing some of that deeper inner work so that way you're not just piling on and busy, staying busy and doing all the things and ignoring and minimizing still that little Leslie or little Dean. So it's a two-part path. It's like learning the tools to automatically learn how to regulate your nervous system, and then also doing the deeper inner work where that trauma lives in our body. It's there. And there's this saying that there's issues in our tissues. So we actually have these energetic memories that are in our body. And it's not so much like we have to talk it out. While yes, it's important to integrate after having a somatic release, but also sometimes we don't have to, because when we're children, sometimes we don't know. There's experiences or things that happen to us that we can't give it words. So sometimes when I'm doing a breath work with a client and then afterwards they've had some release, they've had some transformation, they've been emotional, they've had some clarity, I actually have them draw. I have them use colors. I have them draw, as opposed to writing, which that's also great too, journaling, release writing and all the things. But there's something really powerful about not having to give it words. And especially as children, and when you're doing this deeper work, there's just so much in that higher state of consciousness that we don't have words yet for. So
that's real.
I don't know if that answered the question.
Did answer the question. That's really interesting that you get them to draw. Do you get them to draw anything specific? Do you see any patterns in what they draw? That's really interesting. And I agree with you that talk therapy isn't the only answer when it comes to mental health issues. Me personally, I didn't see a therapist, only for the grief side of things, I had a counselor. But regarding anxiety, I didn't have a therapist, and I overcame my anxiety disorder my way. And I'm a big believer that there's so many different tools available, which is good. Obviously, it's excellent for people to come through an anxiety disorder. And not everybody can have access to therapy, or it may not, therapy doesn't work for everybody. So it's great to have all these different options. So then the person can have a look at each option and almost curate their own path to recovery. I imagine you get that all the time. People come into you, and maybe do you have like an evaluation to see if your work fits with them? And in some cases, I imagine it might not do. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I always have an intake form, and I invite people to have a conversation with me, a 30-minute complimentary conversation, to see where they are now, where they're hoping to be, what may be in the way of that, and to see if it's an aligned fit to do work together. So yes, there is a process. And I do feel that there are many teachers, coaches, mentors out there, right? But it's about, who do you actually resonate with? Who do you feel that you actually, and I think that's what's great about sacred technology, is because we can actually go and see what the person is about, and, you know, their life and their essence, and that love, trust, love, like, and trust factor, basically, to see if that's someone we would align with. And I found that most of my clients that I attract is the person I was 5-10 years ago, right? It's like, those are, I'm basically my best client, and I'm going to be able to help guide them through where it is they want to be. Because at the end of the day, there are so many of us, and it's really about, you know, how many billions are there of us on the planet? And I always believe that it's no accident if someone lands into my space and in my world, whether it's an inspiration they just got from a post on Instagram, or they saw my TEDx talk, or they came to one of my events in person, like that, you know, if they got some inspiration or motivation from that, then I did my job. So you never know whose lives you're going to touch just because they're not liking and commenting, or they don't reach out. You just have to keep doing the work and really trust that whoever, you know, that your work is for the highest good, whoever comes into your space. And when somebody's ready, like, you know, I will appear in their space and it will be an aligned fit. That's how I always feel with these things.
I think that's beautiful as well, because even like you say, from a coaching aspect or an advocate, people who may, like you say, spread the goodness online, sometimes they're not getting the engagement, or they're not getting the likes or whatever, like you said, the comments. But just, I completely agree with you, just waking up in the morning, putting your message out there, it doesn't matter in that moment what engagement you get. It's about the whole purpose, the whole journey. And it's about, like you say, who connects with you. Because if you're being real to yourself and putting the real information out there, then the goodness and the right people are going to come back to you, like you said, and then you'll be able to help them. So I'm definitely a big believer in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a really amazing story about this, is because my TEDx that I did last year, I didn't even apply. They came to me. It was a woman that was going to come to my in-person event. I got COVID. I had to reschedule. She was the TEDx curator for one of them here in Barcelona. And she never commented on any of my posts. And she just said, I've been seeing what you've been putting out there. So again, I mean, even whether someone's on social media or that's how they handle their business, just however you live and be in this world, just be a walking billboard for your values and your beliefs. I really believe, like, that's the best thing that we can do, really. It's not about, those vanity metrics and all the things, because...
And you can understand why we're programmed, aren't we, to look at these vanity metrics. But I've got, I've got a story very similar, which was a lady from Amazon just contacted me. I'm a follower on social media. Why you say, never saw her likes, comments or anything. And she said, I want you to do a talk at our head office in London. It was wonderful. That happened over the winter time. And why you say, if you're putting the message out there and doing the good stuff, then it will be seen. Don't get caught up, and this is to other people in our space, really, don't get caught up by the algorithms or by what Instagram's decided to do this week or next week. Just continue doing your work, and honestly, the goodness will come out from that.
And you never know what one thing will lead to another, and that's, again, being embodied, being your body, following your intuition, your gut. And we can't do that from here, because most of the time, that intuition, it sounds crazy. It's like, oh, no way, I'm not going to do that. that's out of my comfort zone, that's giving me anxiety. I just want to stay safe where I'm comfortable. And that's not where the magic is. So it's again, how can you come more into your body? How can you make yourself feel safe in your nervous system? Do the very thing that scares you so that you can make a bigger difference in this world. Because again, we never know who's watching and the impact we'll make in this world and what one thing will lead to one thing to lead to one person. That's just the way that the world works, which is beautiful and crazy at the same time.
There's another question here that I wanted to get your take on, which is, what is an example of a tool within somatic healing when experiencing anxiety attacks?
Great question. Beth Green Eyes. Amazing. So this is one of the things that I do. I don't know if you've ever done this with your community dean or someone else, but shaking. I just did this with 2,000 people in person in Austria at my keynote talk. I do this with my events and my clients, shaking. People be like, what are we doing? So if you get up, put on a song that feels like some good songs are like, is it Shake It Off by Florence and the Machine? Or there's another one, Shake It by Taylor Swift. Just something, close your eyes and just shake. There's no wrong or right way to shake. The only wrong way is if you don't shake at all. And you'll be surprised. Start shaking for a few minutes and then just move organically. Dance how you want to move, take up space, because shaking is actually one of the primary ways to release stress. Animals do it all the time. Animals don't have PTSD. You think about when they're attacked, when they're preyed on, and then they just shake it off. They just shake off the trauma. They shake off whatever, you know, energy that hit their body and nervous system, and then they just carry on. And we're actually designed in the same way. It's just we've been taught, be quiet, be strong, be a good girl, don't show your feelings, don't show weakness, don't be vulnerable. So if you just shake it, and then maybe just organically move your body, keep your eyes closed, rest one hand over your heart, one hand over your lower belly, and just notice. Just notice how you feel in that moment compared to how you were at the beginning of the shaking. I did an article with this with Well and Good. If you want to learn more about it, I was actually one of the experts that they had in the article about what are the benefits of a shaking meditation. And this is something that has been used for centuries, and we're just bringing it back to the body, bringing it back to something super simple that you actually don't need somebody else. You just need those 1-2 minute practices to get out of your head into your body and to feel the relief from that anxiety. So if you try that, Beth, I'd love to hear how that was for you, or just send me a DM and I can send you that article.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And regarding, maybe if you send me a DM with a link to the article, I'm more than happy to share the story, which is fantastic. Regarding what you said about the shaking, again, completely agree with you. Anxiety is excessive energy, isn't it? It's a rush of emotions that, and if we don't do anything in that situation, we get overwhelmed by the physical sensations, by the emotional response. So by shaking it, you're actually using that energy. So I'm a massive advocate for doing something like that.
Yes.
I personally used exercise. When I feel anxious, I would then use that excessive energy in an exercise way. But yeah, I could see how it's actually called a shaking meditation. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, you can Google it. But again, I'll share you that link and you can share it in the stories thing. But there is, there's really no wrong way to do it. But my biggest encouragement is to close your eyes. Because again, we want to bring the awareness inward, not to be too concerned with what's happening outside of us or if someone else is doing it with us and how are they doing it and comparing ourselves. And just shake. Yeah, you want to keep your feet hip distance apart. Don't move your feet. And again, if you think about something you want to relieve, what's giving you anxiety? That's great. If you can't think about anything, that's perfect too. Again, we're just get out of the head. Just allow yourself. I would love to just do it with you all right now, but just shake. Yeah, it's so powerful. And I take people through this, and this was really interesting in Austria because everyone was like, you did really good considering Austrians, they're so stoic and they don't show emotions. And it was so amazing to see like 2,000 Austrians shaking. And by the end of it, they were like, yeah, you know, that was amazing and emotional and all the things. So a lot of my work is experiential as well. That's again, that somatic healing. Like you need to feel it for yourself and have your own experience. I don't want to tell you what you'll feel, because again, it's what you're going to feel. It's your experience. It's your healing. It's your process. It's your journey.
No, definitely. Yeah. Anxiety recovery is definitely an individual journey. And that's what makes each recovery special, isn't it? Like you say, it's an individual take on everything. That's why these online communities are so good, because people can see themselves in other people's journeys, but each person's journey is individual, and that's what makes it special. I've just got another question here, which is, I've been in CBT therapy for 5 years for PTSD and anxiety. What are some breathing exercises when having panic attacks?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for sharing so vulnerably and just acknowledging you for the work that you've been doing for 5 years. That's amazing. And just the awareness you have around that. There are so many breathing exercises. There's a way to, you know, up the nervous system and then down the nervous system. So there's so it depends if you're in hypo or hyper arousal with your nervous system. What I do, there's so many different breathing practices. One of the ones that I love, and you can just Google it, Beth, is a breath of fire, which is Kapalabhati, which is a Kundalini breathing practice where it's in and out through the nose. And the focus is on the exhalation, which is counterintuitive because we always focus on the inhalation and then it naturally rebounds. Well, we're actually doing the other way around. And this is a beautiful way to calm the nervous system, but also bring yourself very energized as well. Another beautiful one is Nadi Shodhana, which is alternate nostril breathing. So I don't know if these are the ones that you've tried, Beth, but any of like really like the yogic pranayama breathing practices. And again, you just have to do it 1 minute. You don't need a yoga mat. You don't have to go to yoga class. It's finding the tools and practices that work for you so that you can automatically use those, regulate your nervous system no matter where you are in the world, and then just come from a more calm and empowered place. So I would say any of those could be really supportive. And again, let us know if you try those and if you found those supportive.
So regarding the coaching work that you do, you mentioned about the tools to help reduce the anxiety or help get from the fight or flight to the parasympathetic nervous system. Do you feel like, is that the only way that you can then engage in the somatic therapy? Does the person have to be in a calm state to be able to go through it? Or are you able to still do the work if they're with you and they're feeling anxious in the moment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, like I said, it's the space and the feeling of safety. And it's having that space so that you can feel the anxiousness. You can feel yourself going out of that window of tolerance. I don't know if you've talked about that yet with your community. And that's typically what I do with clients as well, is how can you start to notice what are your somatic clues? When do you start feeling anxiety? For me, it might be my lower back and my shoulders. For you, it might be my headache and my chest, right? So becoming aware of what are those somatic cues for you, where you start to feel yourself feeling anxious, where you start to feel yourself going over, and then how can you start to self-regulate? So that's one of the tools, because it's something really powerful when you start to notice for yourself, when you individually go into feeling anxiety and going out of that window of tolerance. So we all have different thresholds, like what I talked about before. It's like, what's traumatic for me might not be traumatic for Dean. So it's like, okay, what happens in your body? Having that awareness, what are those somatic cues? And like actually noticing that we can bring ourselves back into self-regulation. We can, we absolutely can. But again, it's having that space, having the awareness. That's one of the things that I do with my clients. Going back to Beth's question about breath work, I was talking about 1-2 minute, few minute practices. But one of the things that I do with my clients is longer extended conscious connected breathing, where they're breathing for about 45-50 minutes. And that's really a bigger journey. It's something as powerful. I don't know if you've done that, Dean, where it's like a plant medicine ceremony. Like you really go, I take the client through a journey with the music, with the breath work, with the guided, whatever it is I'm taking them through, so that they can have that experience of feeling and healing and emotions. Again, it's like feeling whatever's going to come forward for them in that moment, depending on what's their intention for the session. And again, I never know what's on the other side of these sessions. But it really just, as long as the person is committed to the work and they're open to receive whatever is for their highest good, then that's what I believe is what's going to come forward. So it's always beautiful to and inspiring to see people doing this work.
Regarding the longer breath works, that is something I did do when, especially because I'm sure you're aware, and lack of sleep often go hand in hand. So people struggle with sleeping. They may wake up, have panic attacks in the night. Nocturnal panic attacks are really common. But one thing, getting yourself off to sleep, because when you're there alone, there in your bed and you're just there with your thoughts and your sensations, often people get overwhelmed and find it really hard to shut off. So I used those extended breath work sessions for that, and I always found that I could never get to the end of them. So once I'd started them, I would then drift off halfway through. So they definitely did the job for what I was using them for.
Beautiful. Yeah, breathwork is amazing. And it's incredible breathwork. You can do, like you said, like I said, anywhere from 1 minute to 45 minutes. And it really, again, depends on your intention. What are you hoping to achieve from the practice or the session? And again, it's one of those somatic tools, because when we breathe deeply and consciously, because a lot of us are not, because we are in fight or flight, we are hypervigilant, we don't feel safe. When we start to breathe consciously, that starts to move that energy. It starts to move those emotions, which is just energy in motion. And we start to release. We may cry, we may want to scream, we may have big emotions, but again, it has to be released. We can't keep suppressing it. And once it's released, then we have the space. We have the space to create something new. We have the space to manifest something or someone new in our life, and we can actually hold it. We can actually hold it. We actually have the nervous system to hold a bigger life, because we've seen people that are successful, but is it sustainable? Is it sustainable? Right. Do they have the tools to really hold like a big team and to hold all the challenges that come from being more successful? And because really at the end of the day, more freedom just means more responsibility. So do we have that, the tools and practices and nervous system to really hold that life?
And just before I let you go, so I wanted to end on this question, only if you feel comfortable doing, obviously. Mm-hmm. They put, can you please show us how to shake the anxiety out?
Ah, yes!
I get headaches when I shake my head, and it would be helpful if you could actually show me the process.
You get headaches. Okay, well then first I would say, don't shake your head if you're getting headaches. I'm going to see if I can keep these on. Otherwise, if I take them off, I don't know if you'll hear other things that are going on in my house. Okay, so let's see. I don't know if you're going to see me, or how much you're going to see on this little, maybe I take this off. Let's see. Let me know if you still...
Do you still hear me, Dean?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay. Let me try to go back. Okay, you are missing my head, but it doesn't matter. So I would just first like, okay, now you can hear my dog. So I would just first like shake out your feet, shake out your hands, your elbows. Okay, she wants to come in, but we'll leave her out there. And then again, close your eyes and then come to stillness. Bring your feet hip distance apart and just start to shake. Shake to the side. Shake it up, shake to the side. You're getting headaches, then I would just, don't shake your head. That's okay. You don't have to shake your head. You can shake everything else. And just keep shaking. Again, no wrong way to shake. Just keep doing it. And then at some point, if you are using music, which that's my biggest encouragement, because that's really the heartbeat of your experience, then somewhere towards the end of the song, just start to move. Start to dance, start to flow, start to take up space, really feel yourself in your body. Again, keep your eyes closed. And then at the end of it, keeping your eyes closed, elbows, rest one hand over your heart, one hand over your lower belly, and just notice. Notice how you feel. Notice what's present for you. Notice what's the difference between how you feel in that moment and how you felt before. Notice your life force energy pulsating through you and that unique vibration that's only you. And from that space, maybe you have a question, maybe something comes forward, and maybe nothing at all. That's perfect. Just know that that's all you needed to do, a few minutes, and then carry on with your day. And that's it. Simple. Yeah. Simple.
Well, I love this self-reflection that you do at the end of it, because I think that's really important, isn't it? It's because when someone's going through an anxiety disorder, they're often not looking at those small wins that they're doing, those small steps of progress. So I think having that evaluation, like you say, at the end of doing that specific technique is really, really helpful, because it reminds the brain that, hey, when I did this, when I had this energy, it really helps me.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is when we are forming those new neural pathways. That's when we are unlearning those old habits. And from that space, we're like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to feel good. This is what it feels like to feel calm. And yes, I can feel more of this. It's possible. And from that place, we can start to really actually shift our chemistry. A lot of my work as well is coming from a place of joy and pleasure, because when we're in our pleasure, when we're in our joy, this activates those four feel-good chemicals of dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, naturally. No social media, no app, no medicine, nothing, which I'm not against Western medicine, but you can do it naturally. You can. The body, again, has a natural innate intelligence that that it kicks off, and it knows. It knows when it's not under attack. It knows when it feels safe. And that's essentially what this is how can we continue to make ourselves feel safe, and so that we can really truly feel, to heal, and come from a more empowered space.
Oh, that's wonderful. And again, thank you so much for sharing the technique with the community, because I know they'll find it useful. If everyone wants to follow you or look at you, into your work, where's the best place for them to go? Give us all the details. And do you have any sessions or any workshops or anything coming up in the near future?
Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me, Dane. This has been fun. This has been great to have you on, and to have someone that just gets it and is doing the work, and not just for themselves, but really out there in the world to make a difference and change lives. So again, thank you for having me. If you're watching this live or the replay, follow me here on Instagram. This is where I like to play and connect and feel like I'm the most engaged with the world. And do DM me. Let me know that you're here from here. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me any questions, and happy to answer them, continue to engage with you in the DMs. And yes, I do work with clients privately or in a group setting in my Feminine Power program. So if that's something that resonates with anyone that's watching, again, just DM me. Just DM me Feminine Power, and I know that you've come from here, and then we'll go ahead and just get you on my calendar. You can have that complimentary 30-minute Empowered Woman consultation. And yeah, really would love to dive deep with where you are at, what's your experience been so far in life, where you'd like to be, and see if it's a line fit to work together.
That's wonderful. And again, thank you so much for spending the time with the community. For everyone who likes to listen to these shows, the DLC Live podcast will be available in the next 72 hours. So look out for it on there. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. I think it's amazing the work you're doing. And I love the angle that you're taking on it. Your speaking's incredible as well. So really, really thankful for you coming on and sharing your wisdom with the community.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I always tell people, when in doubt, shake it out.
All right. Good. The rest of your day.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.